The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 520 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. You can also catch me in the podcast section of iTunes. And I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. A lot to get to today. How about LeBron James? And the LeBron haters, I mean, they're now in permanent hibernation. What can you say about this guy after he nails game winner after game winner? He's putting up 40-plus points. It is unbelievable what LeBron is doing in this postseason. And unfortunately, there's been no drama in the conference semifinals as far as getting good series here. I'm not surprised at what's happening out west. Everybody was looking at Houston and Golden State meeting. So, you know, no stunner there. I was, however, expecting more in the East. And that's a done deal. Unfortunate. So we'll have to wait to the conference finals. Hopefully we get some more good series there. We had some in the opening round, but the conference semis has been disappointing. If I don't have a horse in the race, I look for a long series. You know, give me 6-7 games, and that's just not happening. Speaking of having a horse in the race, guess who hit the trifecta in the Kentucky Derby? That's right, yours truly. And guess who still lost more money than he won in the Kentucky Derby? Yes, you got it. Me again. How does that happen? Well, when the favorites come in, you don't get the big paydays. Although, if you had the superfecta, look out. Almost 20 grand for that bad boy. But I'll talk about the Kentucky Derby coming up. We'll take a look around Major League Baseball. Some big name players on the disabled list, including Clayton Kershaw. Is the Dodgers season over already? I mean, this has been a nightmare start. And I'm always the guy that says, look, baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's about 6 months, not one or two. And who's the best over 162 games, not just, you know, a couple weeks here or there. But everything that seems to be happening with the Dodgers is bad. You know, one injury after another, just not playing good baseball. How about the injury for Yadier Molina? Oh, man. I think every guy out there just winced at that one. And some news regarding the Mets. Great race in the AL East, Yankees and Red Sox. I'll talk about that. I'll get you caught up on the NHL playoffs. What a story. These Golden Knights and Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, an expansion team on to the Western Conference Finals. Amazing. So we have a lot to get to on episode number 520 of the Sports Report. Paul Roberts hanging out with you on The Grizz. That's GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, we're in the podcast section of iTunes. Just go there, type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come up. And I know you're busy running the kids around. You're working hard. You're watching all these different games. You're watching the Marvel movies that are out. You can always get caught up. All the previous shows are there on iTunes as well as GrizzlyProductions.tv. So don't worry about that. We give you 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast-paced, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And today's show is brought to you by iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise that are designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He's the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to their website, iHomeAudio.com. Take a look for yourself at the Zenergy line of products, iHomeAudio.com. Look at the bedside sleep therapy machine or the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome is still the number one brand in digital speakers, and they have award-winning docking clock radios. They have headphones, earbuds, much, much more. All on the website, iHomeAudio.com. All right, let's dive into some hoops here. And, you know, I've never been a LeBron hater. I've tried to defend the guy, and I'm not a Cavs fan. I live about an hour from Philly. I'm a 76ers fan. Don't get me started on what's going on there. We'll get that cranked up in just a little bit. But I appreciate greatness. I never understood why LeBron got ripped by the average Joe sports fan all the time. Well, it's tough to rip this guy now. I mean, how about the shot that he made on Saturday? On the move, he's on the run, he's going to his left, one-hander off of one foot, and he banks it in, Timmy Duncan style, Timmy, banks it home for a 105-103 victory over the Raptors, and that's now a 3-0 series lead. I'm recording this early Monday afternoon here on the East Coast, so the game fours between Cleveland and Toronto and Philly and Boston have not been played yet, just so you know. By the way, great coaching move here by Ty Lue not to advance the ball. That allowed LeBron to get a full head of steam going and see exactly what he wanted to do. So from an X's and O's point, really nice move there by Ty Lue. And I couldn't understand what Dwayne Casey was doing. How do you let the best player in the world beat you? And I thought when they threw it in the backcourt, right along the baseline, kind of near that right corner, I thought that was the chance for the Raptors to trap him. And after the game, Casey sounded confused about, were they going to trap? Were they not going to trap? It did not seem like the players thought that they were going to trap, but it sounded initially like that's what he wanted to do. You have to make somebody else beat you. If Kevin Love hits a shot, okay. Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, Hill, whoever, you tip your cap. We lost the game. You don't let LeBron James beat you. A surefire Hall of Fame player, one of the best of all time. So that was a mistake. You got to trap him. You got to force him to give the ball up. Instead, he's able to maneuver all the way down the floor, go down the left side of the lane, and not an easy shot. He makes it look easy. That's off balance, off of one foot. It's not like he's squared up there, and he has the touch to bank in for the game winner. 38 points for LeBron. Kevin Love, and I've talked a lot about him here on the show because it can't just be LeBron. Kevin Love has been an all-star player, and he's got to play like that. And in this game, not only 21 points, 16 rebounds for Kevin Love. Kyle Korver, who's a very good three-point shooter, a veteran player, he had 18. So they got point production from guys not named LeBron. That's huge. How about DeMar DeRozan on the pine, on the bench for the fourth quarter? Casey said, hey, we made a run, and we're going to stick with the guys on the floor. Kyle Lowry had 27. I mean, they were down big, and they ended up tying the game on a three with 8 seconds to go before LeBron broke their heart yet again. But I thought it was interesting. DeMar DeRozan's one of the better guards in the game, and he was on the bench there. Bottom line here, we're talking about ownership. LeBron James owns the Toronto Raptors, and that's all there is to it. You can't tell me, when you look at their rosters, you cannot tell me Cleveland is a better team, you know, personnel-wise, 1 through 10, than the Raptors. You can't tell me that, especially the way the Raptors bench played over the course of the regular season. And you have the guards like Lowry and DeRozan, and you have Serge Ibaka. You can't tell me, when you look at the whole roster, Cleveland's better than Toronto. But for whatever reason, and I'd always taken Cleveland against the Raptors,
This was the first time I did not, because you don't have Kyrie Irving anymore. It's LeBron and, you know, Kevin Love playing okay at times, other games invisible. So I took Toronto in this series. And now they're down 3-0. Little nugget on being down 3-0. Of the 129 teams in NBA history to get down 3-0, do you know how many have come back to win the series? Zero. Zilch. Zippo. Nobody. So that's why I say these series are over. And I'll get to the West in a little bit. But Cleveland's moving on and Boston's going to move on too. 129-0 if you're looking for a trend in the NBA. When you're up 3-0, you never lose. That's the case now for the Cavs and the Celtics. But this was supposed to be the year where the Raptors could make a run, right? I mean, they had the best record in the East. They're the top seed. You get home court advantage. Cleveland doesn't look as strong. And I admit, I took Toronto here, and now they're done. I go back to game one, and you'll say, well, it's a long series. You know, it's only the first game. No. Toronto had to win game one. You're at home. You led all of regulation. Cleveland never had the lead, not one time in regulation. And then the Cavs steal that game in overtime. And then game two, LeBron just goes off and has 43 points. And now you have to go on the road and you lose another close game. Dwayne Casey tried to mix things up with his lineup for game three. He went small. He put in Fred VanVleet, who's a nice player. Put him in. Serge Ibaka went to the bench. It didn't matter. They started out 2 of 11 from the field. They couldn't make anything. And just like that, you blink and they're down 12. And now the crowd's going crazy there. So that series is over. More on LeBron, because, you know, this guy took a lot of heat for not being clutch or for passing up on shots. Well, he's now 33 years old. And this was his second game winner of these playoffs. Remember, he hit that fadeaway three in game five against the Pacers in the opening round. Here's a little nugget that I thought was interesting. LeBron has made 5 go-ahead shots in the final 5 seconds of regulation or overtime in the playoffs. Okay, so we're talking last 5 seconds, regulation or OT. He's made 5 shots to put his team ahead. That's 2 more than a guy by the name of Jordan. Now, I have always hesitated as far as that comparison, and I've never put LeBron ahead of Michael Jordan, and I still don't. He's got to win some more championships to get to MJ, but I think that stat there will surprise a lot of people. And in this playoff run, LeBron's putting up 35 points, 9.5 rebounds, and almost 9 assists. Even though he doesn't have a lot of weapons, still almost 9 assists per game. He's scoring as much as he had in the playoffs since 2009. And the last 3 home games, he's had 2 last-second shots and the game 7 in the first round where he had 45 points. So what more can I ask do you want of LeBron James? What is it going to take for everyone out there to respect this guy? I don't know. You can let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Now time for a little Roberts rant. I'm frustrated, as are 76ers fans. I mean, they took care of Miami Heat. You knew that. Now you're getting a Celtics team that, yes, they had home court advantage. No Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward. Jaylen Brown, real bright young star, was not playing in game one. They had to go 7 games in the opening round. The 76ers were well rested, ready to go. And now Philadelphia down 3-0. And Saturday was just like a punch to the gut. Overtime loss, 101-98 to Boston. Al Horford with the go-ahead bucket late in overtime. This was a crazy, crazy game. If you were running around Saturday, or maybe you were just fixed on the Kentucky Derby and missed this one. End of regulation. J.J. Redick has the ball. And according to Brett Brown, they've run this play forever. Well, he throws the ball away because Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid run into each other. Terry Rozier picks it up. He dishes to Jaylen Brown. 89-87, Celtics on top. Marco Bellinelli, the Italian Stallion, he hits a long jumper. It was obvious when you saw the replay. Both of his feet were on the three-point line. So it was not a three. It was right in front of the 76ers bench. Brett Brown said he drew it up as a three-pointer. He wanted a walk-off victory there. But he was clearly on the line. Everyone could see it except Confetti Guy. That's what they're calling this guy. Confetti Guy at the Wells Fargo Center because he mistakenly thought it was a three and blasted confetti from a cannon. So it took between 5 and 10 minutes to get all this confetti off of the floor. And this Confetti Guy actually went over to press row and said the Sixers better win or, quote, I'm done. So I wonder if he still has his job. Anyway, Horford gets a bucket with 5 seconds left. Boston's up 99-98. Ben Simmons then throws the ball away after a timeout. Horford with a great steal there. He was brilliant down the stretch. He anticipated the pass and took it away from Embiid, made his free throws, and the Celtics win it by three. Jason Tatum continues to play great basketball. He had 24, Rozier had 18. As for the 76ers, Embiid had 22 and 19. Redick 18 and Simmons 16, but made some critical mistakes down the stretch. And if you follow the 76ers this season, turnovers have been a big problem with this team. But you go back to game one. I thought that was their chance to steal a game on the road. Jaylen Brown was not playing. Boston was not well rested. The 76ers were. Not only did they lose, they never threatened. I mean, the NBA, everybody makes a run, right? Not the 76ers. I mean, it seemed like they were always down 8 to 12 points in that game and lost it by double digits. Then in game two. Oh, man. Oh, ready to throw the remote right through the TV screen. You're up 22 points in the second quarter. Looks like a rout. Total rout. Crowd's out of the game. Boston goes on this huge run last 6 minutes of the second quarter. And Brett Brown's just standing there. How about taking a timeout? They give you all these timeouts. Use them. Man, oh, he let Boston cut it all the way down to five at halftime. Got them right back in the game. Got the crowd into the game. 76ers were taking dumb shots. It looked like playground basketball. I can't believe that he didn't take a timeout there. I couldn't believe what I was watching as this train wreck is going on. Unless you're a Celtics fan, then you're overjoyed that Brett Brown decided not to use a timeout, especially with a young team. I mean, guys like Simmons, Embiid, Saric, these are young players. If you have a veteran team, you know, if you have Bird and Parrish, McHale and Dennis Johnson, or you have Magic and Worthy and Kareem and Byron Scott and A.C. Green, well, all right, then maybe you let those guys play a little bit. But with a young team, get a timeout. So they blow a 22-point lead in game number two. And then game three, I mean, mistake after mistake after mistake. Redick's pass never gets to Simmons as he bumps into Embiid and they both go down. And then the Celtics are off to the races. But Bellinelli bailed him out there, so you go to overtime. Then they jump out, nice lead, make some shots. 20 seconds to go, Embiid misses a shot. Ben Simmons gets the rebound. What is he thinking? He goes right back up with the shot and misses it. You kick it out there. You run some clock. You try and get the ball to Redick, who's a great free throw shooter. You make Boston foul you. You have the lead. You're up a point. Why are you going right up with that shot? It's under 20 seconds to go. I mean, inexcusable mistake by Ben Simmons. And I know he's a young player. you got to know time, score, situation. You have the lead. You don't have to go right up with that. So then the Celtics score 5 seconds left on a brilliant inbounds play that they got a mismatch with Robert Covington, and I don't want to get started on him, a guy last year millennials just fell in love with, that he was this great 3-and-D player, and I tried to tell him that he was overrated. Well, he got big-time money, and now he came back down to earth. Totally overrated player. Anyway, Al Horford gets him sealed under the bucket. They throw a lob in, and they score. Brad Stevens had two brilliant plays out of timeouts, and that's what he's known for. I mean, the guy did a phenomenal job at Butler. He got to two Final Fours, and he's doing it now in the NBA. The coaching matchup between Brad Stevens and Brett Brown has been a total mismatch. All right, it's an early TKO. It is a first-round knockout. That's what's happening with Brad Stevens and Brett Brown. And I like Brett Brown. Again, I watch the Sixers all the time. I like the hire because he worked under Pop with the Spurs, and that's such a phenomenal organization. And I've never judged the guy before this year because they didn't have the talent. They didn't have the players that other teams did. You need players at the pro level. Now he's got some players. This should not be a 3-0 series. No way. This should have been a 6-7 game series. Vegas was even favoring the 76ers. And now it's over. Down 3-0. But at the end, you have Simmons throwing the ball away, trying to get it to Embiid. Horford saw it coming, picked it off, made a couple free throws there. I mean, just awful mistakes, turnovers, bad judgment by the 76ers. Jason Tatum, like I said, he's been great. First Celtics rookie to hit the 20-point mark in 5 consecutive playoff games. Think of all the great players that they've had in Boston. He's the first to do that. 20-plus in 5 straight games. He had 24 in Game 3. And to make matters worse, if you like the 76ers, they gave up a future first-round pick to Boston so they can move up to number 1 and get Markelle Fultz. And he's not even on the court. He hasn't even played in the last 5 playoff games. Has not been out there. He's got 5 points in the entire playoffs. And then you have to watch Jason Tatum, who was taken after him, put up 20 in every single game. And Boston got a first-round pick. Oh, man. Had to vent there a little bit. Frustrating. I like the Sixers in that matchup. I respected Boston. I think there were some 76ers fans and media bobbleheads in Philly who did not respect them. And that was a mistake because they play defense. Defense travels. It keeps you in games when you don't shoot well. And in a half-court set, you get what you earn against Boston. I mean, you're not getting any cheapies. You're not getting freebies the way they play defense. Very well coached. They grind it out. They're tough. And think about this. Think about that they're doing this. They're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe the NBA Finals if they can get by LeBron, and their two best players aren't playing. Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward aren't even playing. And they're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals at worst. This is episode 520 of the Sports Report podcast. If you're a Celtics fan, you got to be loving life right now. I'm with you every Monday on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, also in the podcast section of iTunes. All right, let's go out west here. Houston and Golden State both up 3-1, so these series are over too, but this is not a surprise. The East has been much more of a surprise to me. Chris Paul, who's normally known as, the guy playing second fiddle to James Harden, Chris Paul had 27. He also had 12 rebounds. And James Harden did have 24, but that's a ho-hum type of game for him. Houston beat Utah Sunday night 100-87. And Clint Capela, what a game, especially on the defensive end. He had a phenomenal game. He had 6 blocks. He had a double-double, 12 points, 15 rebounds. I mean, you know what you're going to get from James Harden and Chris Paul. When you get a game like that from Capela, then Houston becomes a lot more dangerous. So they're up 3-1. the Warriors are up 3-1, and everybody and their brother knew this was coming, right? You knew what was coming on Sunday in Game 4 after they looked so pathetic in Game 3. What was that all about? I mean, that was a UPS special from the Golden State Warriors. Losing by 19 in Game 3? There was too much talent on that roster to get beat like that. And they didn't shoot it well at all. Well, they came out and shot it really well on a Sunday in New Orleans. Durant had 38 along with 9 rebounds. And they bounced back nicely. They went wire to wire in this one. Durant 15 out of 27. Steph Curry had 23 points. And the Pelicans couldn't throw it in the ocean. 36% as a team. And listen to this. From three-point land, they missed 22 of 26 shots. Good grief. Plus 19 turnovers. And the Warriors, like I said, they came out on fire, which you knew was going to happen. I mean, rarely are they going to have two games in a row where they shoot that bad. They made 6 of their first 8 shots. So within 4 minutes, it's a double-digit game. I mean, they're already up 10 points, and they end up cruising, 118 to 92. So I think both those series are over. It's going to be Houston, Golden State, and that's what I wanted. I think that's what most of you wanted. And then in the East, it is going to be Boston against Cleveland. And, you know, looking at the Cavs, I love LeBron, what he's doing, but outside of him, you wonder. And then you see a Celtics team that is young with Tatum and Brown, guys like that, and without their two best players. So who knows? I mean, I was not expecting Cleveland to get by Toronto. I mean, this is a year. If you're a Raptors fan, you have to be disgusted. And they have great fans up there, but you have to be thoroughly disgusted at the opportunity that was in front of you and not being able to get the job done. Your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, LeBron, the 76ers meltdown, let me know on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Love to get your comments there. I'm at TheSportsRPT on Twitter.
This is episode number 520 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, the guy down the street that you don't really know. If they're into sports, tell them to check out the podcast each week on iTunes. And we love to see your 5-star reviews there. That helps to promote the show. Only takes a second to do. And of course, on grizzlyproductions.tv. All right, NHL playoffs. What can you say about Vegas? The Golden Knights are on to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, this is an expansion team. I mean, these are guys that were not protected. And, you know, you get a hot goaltender in the NHL playoffs and anything can happen. And Marc-Andre Fleury has been brilliant. He's already got 4 shutouts. 4 of them. He had another one as they closed out the Sharks. They won 3-0. So they beat San Jose in 6 games. Andre Fleury had 28 saves in that one, and they'll be in the Western Conference Finals. Very impressive. In the East, I don't think this is a surprise. Lightning beat the Bruins 3-1 to close out that series. Tampa Bay beats Boston in 5 games. So 2 series in the books for the Lightning, and they've got rid of the opponent in 5 games both times. So that's a look at what's going on the ice. A Major League Baseball, injury after injury after injury, nothing going right for the Dodgers. And I would like your response, and I'm not one to, you know, go overboard or, you know, give hot takes just to get people to listen or just to get clicks online, but I think it's a fair question. Is the Dodgers season over? I mean, you know, with this start, with the teams in their division, you know, teams like Arizona playing really, really well. Colorado is playing some good baseball right now. Had the Giants have won 4 in a row. They've had a lot of injuries too. But now Clayton Kershaw is on the disabled list with left biceps tendonitis. Dave Roberts, their manager, said that he got hurt before Saturday's game against San Diego. He's 1-4, but forget about the record. The guy's ERA is 2.68, 48 strikeouts to 10 walks in 44 innings.
almost a 5-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio there. And Roberts said that if it was more of another part of the arm, it'd be more concerning, but being the biceps, they're hopeful. But you're talking about a 3-time Cy Young Award winner here in Clayton Kershaw, who is the latest Dodger to go on the DL. And they're not playing real well. Yadier Molina, I think everybody can sympathize with him. Veteran catcher, he's expected to miss a month after getting hit in the groin by a foul tip. They are calling this a, quote, pelvic injury with traumatic hematoma. Just one look at this, and, you know, it was bad, really bad. He left Saturday's game against the Cubs. It was the eighth inning, and Jordan Hicks was on the mound, and he can bring it. This guy can throw some gas, and he was throwing 102, and Chris Bryant tipped the ball, and it hit Molina, you know where, the groin area. So he is going to be out at least 4 weeks. That's a big loss. 8-time All-Star right there. Guy runs the show from behind the plate. Cardinals are playing well. They've won 5 in a row. They're in first place in the Central at 20-12. Team going in the opposite direction, the New York Mets. And they put a Jacob DeGrom on the DL, hyperextended elbow. The 29-year-old was hurt while batting last week against Atlanta. So Matt Harvey gets DFA'd. That's designated for assignment. What a bizarre career so far for Matt Harvey. I mean, when he came up, it looked like he was a can't-miss guy. I mean, they're talking about Dwight Gooden, Tom Seaver. I mean, that's how good this guy was. And injuries and just not pitching well and stories about his nightlife. And now DFA'd Matt Harvey? Whew, how quickly things have turned there for the Mets. And they were off to a great start, but again, they have now lost 6 in a row. Big story, Major League Baseball is in the AL East. Yankees and the Red Sox, they're the two best teams right now in the game. And I think it's great for baseball. And you may be a Yankees hater, you may be a Red Sox hater, I don't care. Rivalries make sports. And to have Boston and New York playing well in that division, that's a good thing for Major League Baseball. Just like in college football, you know, it's good when Michigan and Ohio State are both good, or Michigan and Michigan State, or in, you know, college football, you could go Auburn, Alabama. You know, it's good when both teams are competitive, UCLA, USC. Just pick a rivalry at that. In hoops, Duke, North Carolina. It's great when they're both, you know, top 10 type of teams. Rivalries make sports. So even if you don't like these teams, and I'm a Yankees fan, you can blame my dad for that. But this is great. And they have a series coming up that starts on Tuesday. Yankees are 24-10. They've won 6 in a row. They have won 15 of the last 16. And these young prospects, I told you these guys were coming. They're playing really, really well. And Boston's 25-9. That's the best record in baseball. So I love what I'm seeing there. What I don't love is what I'm seeing in the AL Central. Nobody's even over 500. The Indians are in first place, and they're 17-17. That's how bad that division is. You got the Twins, the Tigers, the Royals, and the White Sox. That's a dumpster fire there. And Cleveland is not a 500 team. Cleveland should be a much, much better team when you look at that rotation there and some of the other players they have to be 17-17, but it doesn't look like you're going to have to do a whole lot to win that AL Central. Your thoughts on some of the injuries I talked about, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. Are the Dodgers done? I know it's the first week of May. Let me know on Twitter. At the Sports RPT. I'm at the Sports RPT on Twitter. Last but certainly not least, you know, I like to play the ponies, especially when we get to the Triple Crown time of year.
And we are there. Kentucky Derby, sloppy, sloppy track on a Saturday in Louisville. Nearly 3 inches of rain fell. And usually they're pretty good at taking care of the track. But when you get that much rain, there's nothing you can really do about it. The crowd was still huge. 157,000, almost 158,000 people there to watch this one. And the favorite came through again. Favorites now won 6 years in a row. That's the longest streak in the Derby since the 1970s. You know, I'm not a huge fan of that because I don't like to play favorites. Two reasons. One, they don't pay. And two, they only win about a third of the time in horse racing. But in the Derby, and it's just surprising because you have 20 horses there. Crazy stuff can happen. But Justify looked great. I mean, no argument who the best horse was at the Kentucky Derby. Hands down, it was Justify. And the curse of Apollo is finally over. Won't have to hear about this anymore. Not since a horse named Apollo in 1882, you heard me right, 1882, had a horse won the roses without racing as a two-year-old. That is out now. Justify did not run as a two-year-old. He wins this race. Bob Baffert wins his fifth Kentucky Derby. And how about his jockey? I mean, what a combination. They call him Big Money Mike. Mike Smith, who is 52 years old. He's the second oldest winning jockey in the Derby. Second time he's won this race. But he gets a lot of the big time horses here. So you have Bob Baffert, Mike Smith. Tough combination to overlook. Justify ends up winning this thing. Now 4-0 with combined 21 and a half lengths in those four victories. And again, the favorite comes through here. Muddy, muddy track, but did not stop Justify. He was the 5-2 favorite, and he went right out to the front. They got a clean break, which was really important, and they went out with a long shot named Promises Fulfilled, who you knew was going to fade away eventually. And then, you know, a horse I really like came on late, Audible, almost got up for second, finished third. Good Magic, trained by Chad Brown, who's only 39 years old. He's a really good trainer. Good Magic was second. Audible was third. They were both 2.5 lengths behind. Audible trained by Todd Pletcher, who had four horses in this race. The final time was 2:04. They went out. It was a really, really fast pace. The first half mile, 45.7 seconds there. Final time, though, was 2:04.2. So Justify wins it. And they'll be talking about Triple Crown. Believe me, they will definitely talk about that. And, you know, the Preakness, yeah, he's definitely going to be a huge favorite there. He's going to be huge. He's probably not even going to be even money. But the Belmont, the Test of a Champion, a mile and a half, short rest. Horses aren't used to that. Always difficult to do, but we'll see. Now, the Exact and the Trifecta didn't pay much at all because the top three horses were all considered favorites here, contenders. The Exacta only paid $69. The $1 Trifecta paid $141, which I had in this race, but I still ended up losing money overall. Me and my buddy Scott, we always split a couple tickets. And we do trifectas, but we box it with multiple horses. So we did a couple trifectas with six horses. So you need three of the six to come in. It's not easy to do. We hit it, but we didn't get a long shot in there. That's what you hope for. You hope for a long shot to get in there. That did happen in the Superfecta. Instilled Regard got fourth. Huge long shot in this race. And the Super paid almost $20,000. That's if you have the top four, okay? So Justify, Good Magic, Audible, and Instilled Regard. That Super, a $1 Superfecta, paid $19,618. Get a new car right there. My Boy Jack with Kent and Keith DeSormo was fifth. Hofberg was seventh. Bolt Doro was 12th. Just giving you some of the other names that people like coming in. Magnum Moon, all the way back in 19th. He was 4-0 coming in this race. And then a shocker in Mendelssohn. And I've said it before, I don't trust these horses coming over from Europe.
He won the Dubai prep race by 18 lengths. Well, he finished dead last in the Derby. And that's a $3 million horse right there. Now, in fairness to Mendelsohn, awful trip. He got bumped right out of the gate. And that's always a concern when you have a race this big, when you have a 20-horse field. He got bumped right away. He was a total non-factor and finished dead last. So we will see who comes back for the Preakness, but Justify is going to be a big, big favorite, especially you look at his results. He's never lost. The trainer-jockey combination with Baffert and Smith. So he'll be your big favorite for the Preakness. Hopefully you did well. Hopefully you came out on the winning side, unlike me. But hey, story of my life. That'll do it for episode 520 of the Sports Report podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the NBA. Enjoy the NHL. Enjoy the MLB. We'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode 520. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.